Romans chapter 7 is where we'll begin today. Romans chapter 7. Paul's letter to the Romans, beginning in verse 15 and going through verse 20. Romans 7, 15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. This morning I'm going to take a little break from the miracles series that I've been doing. Just take a couple of weeks rest from that. And by the way, I will be here all 4 weeks this month. Jeremy contacted me this past week and asked that I, if I could do that, and he said he'd take a couple of the weeks in December. So we'll figure that out as December comes along, but I'll be here, Lord willing, for all the weeks this month. The world is a wealth of ideas. You can find ideas, if you're creative enough, wherever you go. Ideas for stories, poems, whatever. I don't know if y'all remember the book Jonathan Livingston Seagull. Do you know how they came up with the idea for that? And he's told this story, so it's a true story. He said he was walking along the beach one day and he heard a voice say, Jonathan Livingston Seagull. Probably somebody said something and it just wafted on the wind, but he heard it as Jonathan Livingston Seagull and came up with the idea for that story from that one little voice or that name that he heard. The ideas that I get for the sermon sometimes come from things that I hear. And one of the things that happened, I saw this sign many years ago. It was on the outside of a lawyer's office, and have the marquees out there. And it said, update your will today. And I thought, now that's pretty interesting, And of course, we all know what he was talking about. The lawyer was talking about updating your last will and testament, which is always a good thing to do. As years go on, you got more to give people, so you kind of change your will. Sometimes you change it because you don't have as much to give people. But anyway, be that as it may, it's a good idea to keep our wills up to date. But there are other ways to do this as well. It depends on the emphasis that you put on the words. So let's look at this little phrase here to begin this lesson. Update your will today. So let's say, update your will today. What is your will? We talk a lot about will, don't we? We talk about willful children and people doing things against their will and all these types of things, but what is your will? Your will is what you want to happen in your life, what you want to do in your life. It's how you want things to be. That is your will. You have a will to change things in your life or to do things in your life. As a matter of fact, the strength of our will is how a lot of things get done in this life. If you look back in the 30s, one of the greatest propaganda films that was ever produced was done by Leni Riefenstahl. I knew I wasn't going to be able to pronounce her name. But she was Hitler's propagandist. And she produced this film called Triumph of the Will, which was about the Nuremberg rallies. And it really is one of the greatest propaganda films ever produced because it showed Hitler in such a great light and almost as a god or a demigod or whatever. But when you think about Hitler and what he did in Germany, that was really a triumph of will. He single-handedly did all of this. He had these ideas. Now, there were other people who had similar ideas, but he had the idea and he had the will to get this done. And it took him 10 or 15 years to be able to become the Chancellor of Germany, but he never gave up on that. And he caught people up in his ideas and his dreams, and he got people to follow his will so that he could change Germany to the way he thought it ought to be. And believe me, there are a lot of politicians today that want to do the same thing here in the United States, change this country, to bend this country to their will. But that's what happened back then. But you know how that got defeated? It took the will of free people to fight back against Hitler. And their will finally conquered that nation and was able to overturn Hitler. People sometimes accomplish things out of sheer will. You've met people like that. People have stayed alive just out of willing themselves to stay alive for an extra amount of time. My mother-in-law was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and she had, like they said, about 6 months to live. She basically just willed herself to get through Christmas because that was her favorite time. She died in January, just after that. But people do things like that. They change things all the time. Billy Payne had this dumb idea, people thought, to have the Olympics here in Atlanta. But he got people interested in what he was saying. He had the will to keep his dream alive. And the Atlanta Olympics came here in 1996. I want you to know, by the way, that I had the idea before he did. I had it back in the 60s. And I actually had all the venues where they could play all the games, and a lot of them were where they finally used it. I didn't get any money out of it. But anyway, that's what Billy Payne was able to do by his will. But you know, our will is our will. It's nobody else's will. It is ours. And it cannot be taken away from us. Our will cannot be taken away from us. But we can give our will away. We can give it away to a whole bunch of people and a whole bunch of things. And if we're going to give it away, we need to give it away to the right concept, the right one. And that's God. Our will should be God's will. What is God's will? Have you ever sat down and just asked yourself that question? What is God's will? I went to Wikipedia, the font of all knowledge, and saw what they said. And it said, the will of God is the concept of God having a plan for humanity. And that's not really too far off. It is what God has in his mind for us. It is his plan for humanity. And not just humanity, but every person involved in humanity. He has a plan for all of us, a purpose for all of us. Psalm 57 and 2, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. David knew that. David knew that God had a purpose for him, and that he has a purpose for everyone. But more than that, God's will is for us to have what is best for us in our lives. If you look at the commandments of God, the Ten Commandments and all those other commandments, ask yourself this question: is there really anything bad about those commandments? They're all good. It is good for us not to steal, Robin Hood notwithstanding. I mean, it was a good thing for him to steal from the rich and give to the poor, but you know what? He was still guilty of stealing, wasn't he? It wasn't his. Two wrongs don't make a right. But still, it's good for us not to steal. It's good for us not to kill. It's good for us to follow those commandments and do all of those things. It doesn't make our lives worse. It makes our lives better. We might disagree with those things, but God designed those things to make our lives feel better, to make our lives more fulfilled. Have you ever talked with anyone who just abandoned all of the Lord and just lived a life of hedonism, and you sat down and really talked with them? Sometimes their lives are about as empty as you can possibly get. They're not filled. They're not fulfilled in their lives. Those things of God, his will for us is to be filled. His will for us is to have a better life, is to live a good life and live a full life. In Psalm 40 and verse 8, David says, I delight to do your will, O God, and your law is within my heart. Now you think to yourself, what a great thought that David had. And then you think to yourself, wait a minute, David, wasn't there that thing with Bathsheba and all those problems you had with Absalom and all those types of things? Yes, you know, I'm human. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. I've done a lot of things I shouldn't have done. But when I do what God wants me to do, I have joy. I delight in doing the will of God. I delight with having the will of God within my heart. Others understood that in the scriptures. Some did what they needed to do. Some didn't do what they needed to do. As we talked about, Paul went back and forth. Jesus talked about that in John chapter 5 and verse 30. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Jesus, as a human being, had the will to not do what God wanted him to do. But he was able to control that will because he was the Son of God and because he wanted to do his Father's will. I can't do anything, my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. But unfortunately, it's very hard for us sometimes to control our will, isn't it? It's hard for us to put restraints on those things that we want to do or not want to do. Paul said it at best in the passage that I read at the beginning of the lesson. What I will to do, I do not practice. What I hate to do, I do. Have you ever hated yourself for something you did? Have you ever said to yourself, man, if I just had those 5 minutes back, if I had that day back, I would change everything in my life. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have thought that. It is hard for us. It is hard for us, a constant struggle. And that's because we don't want restraints on us. I've said this many times, and I'll say it again. The reason a lot of people don't want to have anything to do with God is because they fear that God will put restraints on them. And God doesn't put restraints on your life. He puts boundaries on your life. And there's a big difference between a restraint and a boundary. When you take a horse out of the pen and you put reins on them, they have restraints, don't they? But when they're in the pen, they have boundaries. They can't get out. And you know why it's good that a horse can't get out of the pasture? Because a horse can get lost, never see him again, could get out in the road. Any number of things could happen to that horse. Sometimes it's good to have those boundaries. It's always good to have those boundaries. But we don't want that sometimes. But then again, there are times when we do practice restraint. You know, people that'll cuss up a storm when they're with you. But when they're in a business setting, they don't say words like that, do they? They put restraints on themselves. They always do that. We put restraints on ourselves. Well, there are some people that don't, but we're not going to talk about them. But there, you know, sometimes you put restraints on yourself with the TV shows that you watch. You won't watch some TV programs because of your children and your grandchildren, will you? You won't go see some movies because of your children and your grandchildren. Sometimes we put restraints on things that we do. Boycotts. I haven't been in a Target since they announced their bathroom policy. That's a boycott. And that's just my will, and I'm not going to do that because I don't want to be a part of that. And then there are the anti-boycotts. You know that Chick-fil-A has, I think it's like doubled their sales since the boycott was announced on them several years ago because people said, oh, well, we'll show you. But that's putting a restraint there too. We don't want those restraints, and then again, we put restraints on ourselves. And all of those are important, but we need to go one step further if we're going to go that far. And that's that we need to be willing to bend our will to the Father. Matthew 7:21, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. We must, every day, update our will, to follow God's will. In Ephesians, Paul tells us the wise understand what God's will is. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what is the will of the Lord. That's Ephesians 5 and 17. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 1 through 12, Paul tells us this about God's will. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. And you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God. Here comes a list. This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because of the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who also has given us his Holy Spirit. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. That's quite a list, isn't it? That's the will of God. Those things for us are the will of God. You know, people want to say, well, the will of God is that I can't have fun. The will of God is I can't do this, I can't do that. They never look at the positive. The will of God is that I do these things to improve my life, to make my life better, to make the interactions that I have with other people better. In Ecclesiastes 12, 13 through 14, we have actually a little bit more succinct list. Does somebody have an idea? Let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Fear God and keep his commandments. That doesn't mean be an old fuddy-duddy. It doesn't mean any of those things. It means to put boundaries around yourself, to look at what God wants us to do, and to live as God wants us to live, to be the type of person that God wants us to be. I have a friend that from high school, and we still communicate on Facebook and all. She was widowed back in 2000, and she has met someone, and she's been going with him for a little while. He's a member of a denomination, and they've been talking about religion and all, so she mentioned something about baptism and the differences between Church of Christ and her denomination. So I volunteered to come and have a Bible lesson with this gentleman. And I went and met him yesterday, and we sat down and talked about baptism mainly. And it was very interesting because I took him through a little tour of baptism and why we believe what we believe, because he didn't know. And when I got to the end of it, it was pretty ironclad. And he's, you know, every time I said, so what should we do according to this scripture? Well, I guess we should do what God wants us to do. And when he got to the end of it, he looked at me and he said, but it sure is hard to do it, isn't it? And I said, yes, it is. And I know it is because it's hard for me sometimes too to do the will of God. But God wants us to do that, not because he wants to ruin our lives, not because he wants to lord it over us, if you will, but because he wants what's best for us. He wants us to be saved. God is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to salvation. So we left it at that, pretty much. But when I left, he was asking me a few things, and he finally said, let me ask you one more question. Do you baptize people? And I said, I will baptize you anytime, anywhere. You just call me and let me know, and I will be there. Because that's what God wants me to do, is help people find his will. Which brings us to the second point. It's not just that we update our will, it's that we update our will. We talked a little bit about this in Sunday school this morning, in Bible study. What is a will? Well, a will is that thing that we make out that talks about our inheritance, what we're going to leave behind to the people who are there after us, for those that we love and care for. The scripture has many examples of inheritances and how people got inheritance. But you know, an inheritance isn't always wealth, is it? An inheritance isn't always physical. We can inherit folly, or we can inherit wisdom. We can inherit trust. I'm a member of this group on Facebook, it's an old time radio thing, and somebody wrote a post about how things were so much simpler in the 50s and why, you know, was it really that much simpler and all of this stuff. So I wrote a post back where I was talking about, well, it's so different now because people want their kids to grow up so fast, you know, and they want them to, they are inculcating them with all the things that we didn't learn till we were adults now when they're in kindergarten. And, you know, it was a much simpler time, and people, you know, loved each other a whole lot more. They interacted with each other a whole lot more. And I had one guy write me back, and if he mentioned the word puritanical once, he must have mentioned it 10 times. Because that's the way the world looks at God, as puritanical. It's amazing the Puritans weren't that puritanical. But that's the way they want to see it, because they don't want to bend their will. Because if you bend your will, you won't be a transgender person. If you bend your will to God, you won't do these things that you should not do. And you will do the things that God would have you do. And it's not because He's a mean God, it's because He knows what's best for you and how you can live a good life. We must be careful what we leave to the people that are behind, that we leave behind. When Paul was speaking to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20 and 32, he said this, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those of us who are among all those who are sanctified." You see, it's not just about me. It's about you. It's about the effect I can have on you. It's about the effect I can have on my children and on my grandchildren, on my friends, on my coworkers, on the lady that checks me out at Kroger, on the person at McDonald's who won't get me my breakfast really quick. Because I am, as I mentioned in Sunday school this morning, the light of the world. If I'm standing there in that line at McDonald's and I've got a Bible under my arm, I better not yell at this guy. But you know what? If I don't have a Bible under my arm, I don't need to yell at him either. We need to bend our wills to God so that we can leave behind, so number one, so that we can be in line with God, and number two, we can gain that salvation, that eternal life we need, but number three, so that we can leave an inheritance for all those we know. And those we'll never meet. Ever. This morning, if you have a need to answer an invitation, we're going to offer that to you right now while we stand and sing.